I hesitate to say it, but I probably it's probably true. Smartest guy on the PGA Tour. He's been out since June. Joe Ogilvy joining us now. Joe, how's it going?
I'm doing all right, John. I'm not even sure if I'm the smartest Ogilvy on tour.
Well, you know what? Both Ogilvys are in the conversation. If you're going to have that conversation, you have to put you two guys in. And I think there's only four or five other guys that actually own books that don't have pictures in them on the tour these days.
There's plenty of talent, that's for sure.
There's no question about that. Let's start with how you're doing. How you feeling?
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good. I hit about 30 to 40 balls today and felt no pain, which is a good thing. That was my maiden voyage since Hartford, and it feels kind of good to put the golf glove on and take the TaylorMades out and give them a whack. So I'm optimistic. I'm optimistic.
Well, you pulled out. You had a lingering shoulder issue, if I'm not mistaken, and finally it came to a head. Is that how it all played out?
Yeah, I think the shoulder issue was more because of my back. I didn't realize I had a herniated disc, L5, S1, and then I think what happened was I was compensating in other areas, as I think a lot of golfers do. And so I finally got the MRI, and they said, yeah, you probably shouldn't be playing golf right now. So I'm pretty good at taking doctor's orders. So as soon as he said that, I said, okay, I'm done for the next, pretty much the rest of the year. So it kind of feels nice to have a sabbatical, to be honest.
Well, no question. I mean, it's always nice to be home. We don't get that. And as long as you don't drive the people at home crazy because they're used to having you gone, it can be the best thing that ever happened to you.
That's exactly right.
So what have you – I know you spend as much time watching the stock market, and you've clearly been watching watching the campaigns that are going on right now. What's kept you busy?
You know, I just took what's called your Series 7 exam, which is kind of your broker's
sure.
license. I took that yesterday. So I've been studying for that for like a week and a half and reading and doing all that kind of stuff. I passed, which is one less thing I have to do, I guess, in life. So that's been good. And, it's been kind of fun following politics, following golf. I can't make hide nor hair of the markets, but it's been pretty interesting with golf. That's for sure.
You know how many of my friends right now are saying he studied for a week for the Series 7? It took me 2 months and a couple of times. They're not happy with you right now, Joe.
But, well, I probably spent more of a lifetime studying than I probably can admit.
No question about it. It's been an interesting year, as you alluded to, in the game. Ernie winning the Open Championship, to me, I think is still the story of the year, considering the struggles that he's been through. Well, what have your impressions been, sort of watching it from the sideline for the first time in what, 15 years or 20 years?
You know, I was talking to a friend of mine, and we were talking more about economics, and the guy who knows nothing about golf said, he goes, I feel like everything in today's world is about outside hyperbole. Where he was talking about Tiger Woods, he's like, 4 months or 6 months ago, everybody said Tiger Woods is never going to win another golf tournament again. Tiger goes and wins Bay Hill. He wins Memorial. He wins his tournament. And now all of a sudden Tiger Woods has said, okay, he's the favorite of every major. A month and a half ago, people said, well, Rory McIlroy, he's dating this the number one tennis player in the world. He's kind of in love and, he's let his game. He's not concentrating. He's probably not going to win for a while. He's in a big slump. Well, he goes out and wins the PGA by 8 shots or whatever he won by. I think the world has, and I don't know if it's a social media world or if a Twitter world or whatever it is, but the world has gotten fascinated by hyperbola. And I think that, it goes to show you there's so much talent in the world, golf-wise, economic-wise, whatever it is, that, someone once said to me, you're never as good as you think you are and you're never as bad as you think you are. And I think that I think that we get caught up in that too much. And Rory and Tiger and all the guy and Ernie and, everybody just kind of said, okay, we're still here and
right.
We're going to be here for a while.
Well, and that's, I mean, you've been around now, you and Tiger are almost the same age. You're a couple of years older, a year and a half older than him, I think. So you've gotten to see what we all saw, what I saw, we saw the greatest exhibition that we could have ever imagined. And saw a guy doing things that perhaps even we didn't imagine.
Right.
And so from that point standpoint, I mean, I thought when Paul Gordo said he's the most underrated player in the game, when he was the number one player in the world by the widest margin imaginable, that, you know, so we saw it all at one point in time. And now I agree with you. I hate the word parity, but there's a lot of guys that can win every week.
Yeah, there are. I mean, I think eventually someone's going to recognize that you've probably got the greatest collection of talent the world has seen, just because now it's truly a global. I mean, the PGA Tour is a global tour. As golf has expanded into Asia and expanded everywhere else, I mean, you have more players playing the game. You may not have more Americans playing the game, but you have more people playing the game globally, I think, than you ever have. And not to mention, you know, in the 50s, 60s, 70s, you know, bowling has done more to grow the game from a professional golf tournament standpoint. I mean, you know, the 747 and the 777s of the world, I mean, they bring everybody there directly. And, you know, you're seeing that. You're seeing immense talent. I mean, it's impressive. And you're seeing it. I mean, you alluded to Tiger. I think when I got on tour, that the five youngest guys on tour were myself, Charles Warren, a guy named Tiger, a guy named Sergio Garcia, and Bo Van Pelt. We were the now think about this. We were the only five guys that were under 25 years old on tour. I mean, there must be 20 to 25 guys now on tour that are under 25. It's amazing, and the kids now, they're just ready to go from the get go. The day they turn pro, they're ready.
You had to be paying close attention to this to have caught it, but Rory McIlroy at the PGA was asked about just that. And he said, well, I think equipment has a lot to do with it. He says equipment has done more to make the average player and average tour player better than anything else that's out there. The equipment, and I was like, you know, that's a pretty bold statement for a 23-year-old kid to make, that, you know what, some of these guys aren't – basically what he's saying is some of these guys aren't as good as their results. They're just, you know, playing the right equipment and getting the most out of it. And then he goes and wins the golf tournament by 8 shots. And I thought, you know what, maybe he was absolutely right.
Well, if his theory is true, it's even harder to separate yourself. And so, you know, that's pretty darn impressive. You know, but to win by 8 shots at the PGA, you know, that's, let's be honest, that's Tiger-esque. In 2000, Tiger was winning by 16 and 12 and those type of numbers. Rory's put up those type of numbers for his first two majors. I mean, it's impressive.
Yeah, it is impressive. We're talking to Joe Ogilvie, who's sidelined right now with injury, and we'll talk more about that in a minute. I wanted to ask you, Joe, you and I did sit down on a driving range somewhere a couple of years ago, in which point you said, you know, by 42 or 43, I think I'm going to be finished, and, you know, there's other things I want to do with my life. You're getting closer by the day to that threshold. Is that still what you have in mind?
Yeah, one of the reasons I took the Series 7, which is kind of nice to take it while you're injured and not able to do anything. But, yeah, I mean, I think that my wife Colleen and I have always kind of – we've kind of had a deal. I mean, she wants me to be happy, and she'd be happy if I did whatever. If I mowed lawns and, you know, if that made me happy, she'd be fully supportive on that. And I think that, you know, we've kind of agreed that that's kind of the number. I, as you know, you're on the road for 250 days a year when you play professional golf, and I love it. But I think that I think golf is, I say this, and, you know, the numbers don't bear it, but, you know, the Vijay Singhs of the world don't bear it. But I think golf is getting, as it gets more athletic, and you have younger and younger players. And, you know, when I first got, I mean, John, when you first got out here, you were average height to tall. Now I'm challenged height wise. I mean, you know, these kids are 6'2", 6'3". So you're getting a different type of athlete. My theory is that golf is, while it's not going to mirror football and baseball and those things, I think careers in golf are going to get shorter. As the talent gets greater and greater and greater, I think that your careers are going to get shorter and shorter. I think that's my theory. But yeah, I mean, 42, 43 years old is kind of my number, probably 43, but yeah, I'd like to have a really fantastic last 4 or 5 years though. And I'm trying to work pretty hard towards that.
You mentioned the Series 7. Obviously, this has been a very interesting year in terms of the pack, the decisions that have been made. Obviously, there's an overhaul. We won't have a money list going forward after this year. We're going to have a point system. Kids aren't going to be able to access the tour through Q School. They're going to have to go through the web.com tour. How involved in those discussions have you been, or were you, and do you like the result?
I'm on the PAC, which is a player advisor council. There's right. about 16 of us. So we give the board, I guess, our opinion. The board makes the ultimate decisions. I think it was something that, I mean, look, the tour was going to go to Asia. I mean, they wanted to have a footprint in Asia. And so it sort of made sense to do that in the fall. I think the success of the FedEx Cup, you know, some of your viewers, I'm sure FedEx Cup's very polarizing to fans and players, to be honest. But I think it's been a success. And I think it's gaining more and more notoriety, certainly from the player standpoint. And I think the fans are there. The sponsors are happy. And so I think with the success of the FedEx Cup, it kind of drove that decision. I mean, the fall tournaments were like, look, we want in on this thing.
Right.
And, you know, the question is, do you lose four tournaments, possibly five with the HSBC and the sixth one being the tournament in Indonesia or Malaysia?
Yeah, the CMBA.
CMBA. So do you lose those six tournaments, or do you put those in a schedule and elevate those? And I think as a player, look, you want to play for more money. I think players are going to need to go to Asia. I mean, you know, the tournament, the sponsors, the TaylorMade of the world and the Titleist of the world and the Cleveland Golfs of the world, they're going to make you go to Asia. And so you might as well go play a PGA tournament in Asia. If they're not doing it now, they're going to do it. Eventually, they'll be smart enough to say that we need the growth in golf is in Asia, and we need our players representing us there. So that's one reason. I was a Q School romantic, as I'm sure you were.
Right.
I liked it. I liked the idea that you know, you go there. I think where people have it is, I think this new system is a huge benefit to the American college player and the young American player. I think it's a negative to the incremental foreign player, because Q School is going to get easier to get to the third stage and to get full nationwide tour status. I think because the Joe Ogilvies of the world and the, I'm going to pick on him just because he's hurt as well, Scott McCarrons of the world, the guys who are exempt in the second stage or third stage or whatever, they're not going to go anymore, because I'm not going to go to have full nationwide tour status, because I can play the nationwide tour. So you're going to have, call it 50 to 60 really good, solid quality players not take up spots in final and not take up spots in the second stage. So it's going to open it up from that standpoint. I'm not sure if the incremental player from Korea or Australia or England or wherever is going to come play Q School and spend a year on the web.com tour. Maybe he will, but I think that the web.com tour will be, you know, sort of an American tour, which I think in general, it probably benefits American players.
That's now, interesting. I think go ahead, Joe, I'm sorry.
Well, my gut that it's going to benefit young American players.
Because, you know, the stance, the perception is that, well, they're cutting off the avenue to the tour for the Peter Ulans of the world and the John Petersons of the world, and that's not fair to them. And having talked to Bill Kalfi, having talked to all the folks at the tour that I've talked to, I agree with what you're saying, but I don't think that the folks out there quite get the way that this works, in that, look, you can play your way into that three tournament series without even playing well on one of the tours. If you go Monday qualify and have a couple of top tens on the web.com tour, you're going to get an opportunity to play in that three tournament series to get some status.
Yeah.
I mean, that's basically what it boils down to.
And here's what I think it will play out is, as you know, look, going through first stage, second stage, third stage isn't a, you know, that's not a bowl of cherries. I mean, it's not an easy deal. if you're into that three tournament series, you've got three tournaments. I mean, you can go miscut, top five and make it.
Right.
So I think to the better college, the better younger player, my gut and my sense is that this is a better system for the veteran and for maybe the cagey veteran that just understands Q school and just understands how to play six rounds and just get it around and realize you don't have to play like lights out. I think it could be harder. That's my gut. I think this series will benefit the better player.
You know, I'll agree with
better, younger player.
As a three-time graduate of Q school, I'll agree with that. I will absolutely agree with that. And you're right. I got good at Q school. And I think I went to the finals nine times. And the last couple of times I graduated, I had some status to begin with, but which takes a little bit of the pressure off. But I agree with you. The Q school, it's a whole different animal. You've been to the finals a few times yourself, I would imagine.
Unfortunately, yeah, I have. Yeah, more than I care to admit.
I understand. Let's talk quickly about the rehab that you're going through and what the doctors are telling you.
So the doctors, I went to three different ones. One in Hartford and a couple in Park City, and they all said the same thing. They said, look, you've got a herniated disc. The good news is it's still encapsulated. So that's a good thing. Everyone said no surgery. Said if you can afford, you know, 6 to 8 weeks off, you should do it because you've got a real chance for this thing to heal 100%. And if it does, you're not going to require surgery, maybe ever. And, you know, you can lead a normal life. If you play with it and it ruptures, now you're looking at a year and probably 18 months where you really feel good about it. And then, you know, we're never going to say that you're going to be fully healed. You're just going to have to live with it. I think golfers live with pain all the time, but I've followed the doctor's orders. I mean, they told me not to play for 6 to 8 weeks. I didn't play for nine to 10 weeks. Today I hit 40 golf balls. So, and I've really tried to strengthen my core. I've done great therapy. I started the first month in Park City and was working with some great therapists there that work with the U.S. ski team. Now those are real athletes
and crazy.
Yeah. And I felt good. I felt really good. And I think that, it was nice. I mean, I feel today hitting balls, I only hit 40, but I felt like, wow, this is going to be fun trying to work hard and get back to, PGA Tour level.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is that has there been a moment or two of doubt where you said, wow, is this going to be it? Am I going to be able to get back there?
Well, I think before, like playing the U.S. Open, I did it on April 3rd. I was playing golf at Spanish Oaks here in Austin, and I was playing with my dad, who you know,
sure,
who's 68, good friend of mine, Leonard Gorsuch, who's 68, Dr. Snyder, who's 83, my Uncle Andy, who's 63, and Bob Sparks, who's 62 or 3. They all have some artificial parts of their bodies, whether it be hips or knees or... You know, my dad's had a couple bouts of cancer. Dr. Snyder's 83. I mean, we got a lot of injuries. And on the first hole, I bent down to get a head cover, and I went to my knees and never got up. I did it then. That's where I herniated the disc, but I didn't know it. So I was playing the weeks, and I, you know, probably about 12 to 13 times a day, I'd have a flinch, and it might be a flinch when I'm putting, chipping, driving, or whatever, and I just thought maybe I was losing a little nerves or what it was, but it was pain coming up. And so finally I got an MRI. Know that I was hurt, to be honest. It was one of those things. I was starting to worry. I'm like, you know, I'm hitting a lot of good shots here, but I'm not getting anything out of it because I'm hitting these two or three, like, weird ones.
Right.
And so it was just kind of nice. It was kind of nice to get diagnosed that I was hurt, that I wasn't just a bad golfer.
And you'll have half the season next year on the medical to earn enough money to so you'll have to pick and choose a little bit where you play and make sure that you make the most of the number of starts that you're going to get.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And next year, honestly, I'm going to have 11 tournaments, and next year's a short season. I mean, there's probably only 30 tournaments there is. So I'm going to play. I'm pretty much exempt through the Masters, so I'm going to play a lot.
It didn't occur to me how the new system is going to affect guys in your category.
Yeah, yeah. So if you're going to be hurt this week, this year's probably the year to be hurt. It's going to be a weird year next year. I mean, people getting in, you know, I think they need to do something. I think they need to probably cut down on the Monday qualifiers to, you know, one or two.
We certainly all wish you an awful lot of luck next year. But I have to ask you, because it was brought up so many times this past week at Sedgefield with Sergio not only winning the golf tournament, but remembering 1998 when he played for the first time in the U.S. as an amateur. You won that week on what was then, was it the buy.com back then?
It was the buy.com. Yeah.
Yeah. I shot 65 in the final round and was finished and actually had you by a shot. You didn't know that. Tell the listeners what happened when you got to your 14th hole that day.
Yeah, the 14th hole I hit. This will tell you how things have changed. I hit 3-wood, 9-iron, and kind of sucked it back in the hole for a little deuce, which was a double eagle at the time.
Yeah, that hole's 80 yards longer now, and they're still hitting 5-iron in.
Yeah, yeah. I have one of those old Callaway S2H2 3-woods that, you know, if you put a ball up to it now, it looks like it's impossible. It looks like physics just wouldn't work. And it was a great club. But yeah, that was fun. You know, it's funny to see how Sergio's career and my career have kind of gone different ways. Sergio played two tournaments on the tour on the Nationwide Buy.com or Nike Tour back then, whatever it was that year. He played in Mexico where I won, and he played in Greensboro where I won. I mean, he probably thought that I was the greatest player on earth. and I would have loved to continue that ruse, but unfortunately I haven't.
Well, maybe next year, Joe. We do appreciate the time. It's great to catch up with you.
Hey, thanks, Don. I appreciate it. Have a good one in Ireland.
Yeah, yes, indeed. Thank you. That's Joe Ogilvie.